This is the July 1st meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. I'm the chair, George Ryder. I'm going to call the roll. Lona Elias, Chuck Anderson, Mal Bernstein.
Here.
Adriana Casanave.
Here.
Marielena Castellanos.
Here.
Benito Diaz, Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Here.
William Heerwagen.
Present.
Kim Kaufman.
I'm here.
Jim Krafka. Pat Logan. Tony Norman.
Present.
Andrea Pritchett. Myself. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
Manage Saba. John Wenger. Okay, that's 11. We have quorum. I haven't posted any agenda. I had only one suggestion, was from Jose Luis, but the agenda is open. I do have two sets of minutes that I would like to get approved. Other than that, as I say, the agenda is open for what you would like to discuss.
George, it's Vanessa. In terms of the minutes, they didn't come through. I was trying to open them on my phone, so maybe that was the problem, but I didn't get them. I saw that you sent them, but when I tried to open it, it wouldn't open. In terms of an agenda item, I just wanted to review that whole snafu and mess up with the bylaws process. The committee had voted twice on the issue with regard to the GM and the LSBs working cooperatively, and we worked that wording, and we approved it twice. And the second time, for the purpose of it being a bylaws, proposed bylaws amendment. So I'd just like to talk about what we can do with that, whether it's just something, or maybe we've already done what we can do in the absence of, at this point, being able to refer it as a bylaws, you know, proposed amendment.
Well, it's too late to bring it up for a bylaws amendment.
No, I understand that. Well, I get the bylaws process now.
Sure. Other suggestions for the agenda?
This is Serene.
Serene, good.
I've been online, so I have not seen what you sent out, and I haven't seen Jose Luis's request, so could you read those into the record?
Serene, I can't understand you.
I couldn't understand you either, Serene.
I haven't been online, so I don't know what you, George, sent out on the draft.
Hello?
Yes.
And I don't know what Jose Luis's request was. Could you state those, please?
Well, Jose Luis, I presume, will do that in a moment.
And I suggested a 7:30 adjournment time for this meeting.
Oh, yeah, let me say that. The standard adjournment time is 10:30. And that will be the adjournment time for the time for the meeting, 10:30 Eastern time.
This is Serene.
Yes.
When did it get fixed at 10:30?
It always has been. I guess when it got posted this time, you posted it and didn't put the 10:30 on.
Okay, I may have posted that we were having a meeting. There is no rule that says committee meetings end at 10:30, so I'm asking where that information came from. I would not have posted an agenda, so I could not have posted a time certain.
I
don't understand what you're referring to.
What I'm saying is that 10:30 has always been the time certain for the adjournment of this committee for as far back as I can remember.
That would be great if this Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA, if we can keep it at 10:30 Eastern time for today, at least.
Is there any objection to making the...
I'd be fine with 10 o'clock. I don't understand what you're saying about I didn't post it at 10:30. I might have noticed the meeting, so we got the 7th day.
You're right. I didn't post an agenda, so there is no time certain posted. You just posted that there was a meeting. So it's my responsibility that there was no agenda posted, I didn't have anything, so I didn't post anything, but that meant also that I didn't post the time certain for the adjournment. In any case, it's up to the committee when they want to do that. What I'm saying is it's always been 10:30. If people want to make that different for this meeting, then it's up to the committee. Yes, who spoke?
Me, Mal.
Mal, good.
I really think these meetings should be over by 10, your time. And an hour and a half to stay on the phone is quite enough for me.
Second.
Let's do that first. Let's set the time certain. So the suggestion has been made to make it 10. Is there any objection to making it 10 o'clock Eastern time?
This is Vanessa. I'm not necessarily objecting, I'm sure. If it's historically been 10:30, then I think it's fine. We can always end earlier. It seems to be easier to end earlier than to try to get agreement if we need another 15 minutes to talk or something. It doesn't seem like there's the agenda item, so it doesn't appear that ending early should be an issue.
William for the stack.
Yeah, William, go ahead.
I thought I heard, I think it was Mal, say 10 o'clock your time and an hour and a half, meaning 10 o'clock Central, which would be 9 o'clock Eastern. I don't know. Was that right, Mal? Did I interpret that properly?
Well,
I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah, I would like an hour and a half meeting instead of 2 hours, because I just get real tired.
Okay, so he did mean 10 o'clock Eastern.
He meant 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yes,
sir.
Thank you.
I had Maria Lani here.
Good,
KPFT.
Maria.
I don't know who's charged now. I don't know who's punching the phone, but I don't have access to my charger right now, and my stamina, along with the battery in my phone, is not going to last beyond 9 o'clock. So,
you're
9 o'clock,
o'clock
Central
also.
Time.
Is there any objection to 10 o'clock? Vanessa, you were indicated, but is there anyone else who...
Not for 10 o'clock.
Hello?
Yep.
Is there any other objection to 10 o'clock? Okay. Vanessa, is it all right with you if we do 10 o'clock for this meeting?
Absolutely not. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Then 10 o'clock is the time we're going to adjourn. We're still in the process of setting an agenda. There was apparently some problem with... we'll go back to the minutes in a bit. So we had two suggestions so far. One is to go back and review the bylaws process and what happened with that. The other was to do a survey of the five stations, what kind of issues there are out there with regard to local governance or problems with their national office or the PNV also, I suppose. That's it for the moment. Does anyone have anything else?
George, I'm sorry. This is Serene. I had asked what was on your draft agenda.
There wasn't any. I didn't have anything. No one sent me anything, and I didn't have anything that I wanted to put on.
No, but I heard you say you only had one thing. Were you referring to the minutes when you said that?
No, I think I was referring to what Jose Luis just said.
Okay, I see. Thank you. And the minutes are for what date?
I'm sorry, who's that?
It's Serene. The minutes are for what date?
May, the May and the June meetings.
Thanks.
297, we're down to 297, right?
Any other items for the agenda?
George?
Yes?
I don't know if you mentioned that. Sorry, I got distracted over here. The issue that I had raised before about the language that was previously approved by
yes,
that cooperation. You did mention that?
I did, yes. That's
okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's the first item. Again, one last time. Any other items for the agenda? Okay, well, it sounds like we should have a fairly short meeting, perhaps not, actually, depending on what comes up. with the five stations. So what I'd like to do, so the agenda as we have it so far is I would like to have the two sets of minutes approved. I gather there was some difficulty in getting them on cell phones, but we'll get back to that in a moment. Review the bylaws process and respond to the questions Vanessa has about what happened with that, and then do a survey of the committee and what's happening at your own station in terms of governance issues. Is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Okay, with regard to the minutes, I sent them out, and I think they were Word documents, which sometimes don't travel all that well, but did anyone else was not able to get them? It showed up in your mailbox, but you couldn't open it.
Adriana?
Yes, Adriana.
George, I'm sorry, but I'm driving. I didn't have time to open anything.
Okay.
Probably it's in my inbox, but I don't know. That's why I'm having difficulty getting in. Okay.
Is it too, Maria Elena here? Is it too late to add something to the agenda?
Well, formally yes, but what did you want to add?
Two items, and that is how does governance affect or facilitate the upcoming elections? That's the first item, and the second item is how can governance affect or facilitate the financial problems that Pacifica has, especially with regard to financial transparency and oversight.
When you say governance, you mean this committee?
Exactly.
So
those are both questions.
Is there any objection to considering Maria Elena's items for the agenda, which is to have a discussion on how the governance committee might facilitate the elections and the financial stability of the network?
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene, good.
Yeah, I don't have an objection, but I'd like us to apportion times to all the things that are on the agenda. At this point, we didn't do that. We just mentioned the items. We need to apportion times so we use it.
Well, it's a little tricky because you can't call the question on a committee in a committee. You can't limit debate basically.
But I disagree, George. Unless we set times, we can spend the hour discussing the first item. You set times, and then you.
Well,
this is Vanessa. Serene, we've never set. I've been on a committee for a year, and it's always worked well somehow. I agree, it is possible to eat up all your time with one agenda item, but in this committee, I've not experienced that happening. We set X number of agenda items, and then one or two might fall off the end, but for the most part, we make it through the entire agenda.
So, Jose Luis Fuentes for the stack on this?
Yes, good.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. You know, I agree with Serene because I believe it was two meetings ago in the governance committee, we ran out of time because we had a time certain. People still wanted to discuss issues, and we could not approve an extension of time that ran out because there wasn't any limits. And George suggested that people who wanted to stay can stay on, but it was unofficial because everybody had a time certain. So I support Serene's suggestion that since it's informal, that we agree at least to some time so we can effectively use it and see where we're at that time and move on or continue with it, depending on how the conversation's going.
Well, I'll leave it up to the committee, and we'll take a vote on it if we need to, but Vanessa's correct. We have, by and large, been able to complete the agendas. And it is, in fact, part of Robert's rules that you cannot limit debate in a committee. I mean, the idea is that if an agenda item takes more time, it's because people want to and there's something significant there that needs to be discussed. And the purpose of the committees is to allow full discussion. So that's my preference certainly would be not to put specific times on. But if the committee would prefer to do that, we can do that.
Serene, for the staff, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Serene.
So I would like to propose 10 minutes for the minute, 15 minutes for the bylaws, amendment process discussion, 25 minutes for the round. How many of us are there?
There are 11 of us.
A call?
There are 11 of us.
So 20, I'm sorry?
There are 11 people here.
Okay, so 20 for the round-robin discussion. And that is 40-50, which leaves us, at this point, 10 minutes. Folks can ask to extend it for the two issues that Maria Elena added.
Okay.
And anything we save on any of the other discussions obviously can end up on the last item.
Assuming we save anything.
So, as I understand it, then, we need a timekeeper if we do this. And at the end of that 10 minutes, wherever the discussion is, we're simply going to close it down and move on to the next item. Is that correct?
Anyone can always move to extend time, George.
We're going to run it like a regular B&B meeting.
Committee times on items all the time. There's nothing improper about that.
The fact that
governance may not have done that before doesn't mean that we can't do it now to guarantee that we actually get through the items that we agree we want to discuss tonight.
And does it require two-thirds to extend time?
I thought you were the Roberts Rules expert here, George.
That's what I'm asking you. If you're doing this as a regular meeting, it requires two-thirds to extend time. We could make it up ourselves, I suppose.
Then it will require two-thirds. And if two-thirds of the people are that interested or think it's necessary to continue the discussion, they will vote to extend. If not, we shouldn't be trying to do it anyway.
Okay. So Serene's suggestion, which I take it is in the form of a motion, is that we give 10 minutes for minutes, 15 minutes for the bylaws discussion process, 20 minutes for the five-station discussion. Is that correct, Serene?
Actually, I'd said 25, but I'd like to revise my motion, which is to make it 10 for the minute, if we even need that. But
Hello?
10 for the minute, 10 for the bylaws.
Hello?
25 for the round robin, and 15, and we may be running late on that, 15 for Maria Lena. Too much.
There's some crosstalk here. Please mute your phone if you're not if you're having a conversation with somebody else, because we're all hearing it. Okay. So.
Hello.
Well, yes.
Let me just call back.
So let me. I prefer not to do it this way, so I guess I have an objection. So let me take a vote. Anyone want to speak to this? Serene's motion.
Hello?
Yes?
Okay, I'm sorry. I got snapped out of the call somehow.
It happens. Serene has just suggested times on each of the items. And we're about to take I'm seeing whether there's support for it or opposition to it. It's 10 minutes on the minutes, 10 minutes on the bylaws process, 25 minutes on the five-station survey, and 10 minutes on Maria Elena's suggestions about what we can do with elections and finances. So does anyone want to speak to it, or should I just go to a vote on it?
George, this is Vanessa. I'll go with the majority, but I do have concerns that, like I said, the other processes worked fine. They will wind up touching on this and that without resolving anything, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Vanessa, I don't know what the majority is. That's why I want to take a vote.
Okay.
Let's see. I need to bring up the roll. Okay, so A yes vote says we'll put time limits on. A no vote says we won't. We'll have discussions as we have in the past without time limits. Mal Bernstein.
Yes.
Adriana Casanevi. Adriana?
Yes.
Maria Elena.
Yes.
Vanessa.
Pass.
Jose Luis.
Yes.
William Heerwagen.
Yes.
Tony Norman.
Yes.
Andrea Pritchett. Myself, I vote no. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence? Serene?
Serene votes yes.
Okay. Manage, Saba, John Wenger. Still not here. Okay, so it's overwhelming that people would like to do that.
Hello,
so we'll
George.
Do that.
This is Kim.
Oh, hi, Kim. I miss
Am
you.
I on the list?
I'm sorry, you are, yes.
I vote no.
Okay.
George, please come back to me. I was passing. I'm giving up my vote. I vote no as well.
Who is that?
That's Vanessa.
Vanessa, okay. Okay, so it's... That's right, you did pass. 7-3. Did I miss somebody? So it the motion passes in any case. So we'll go to that agenda with those time limits. Can I have somebody do the time, watch the time for me? I really can't do that.
George, I'm in the car, so it would be hard for me to do that. I'm already on the phone in the car.
Somebody who can, would you do that? You just need to just mark 10 minutes when they're up.
I'll do it, George.
Okay, who was that?
Jose Luis Fuentes.
Jose, okay, thank you. Okay, so I would like to get the minutes approved. You should have both sets. The last meeting, the June meeting, I left off Vanessa Dixon Briggs, so I'll put that on. But please check for sure the who was there and the who wasn't, to make sure that you are properly counted as being there. And let me bring up the oldest one, the May 3rd minutes. Is there any objection to approving the May 3rd minutes?
George, like I said, I never saw it. They're usually very brief.
They are brief. Would you be willing to abstain?
I'd like the opportunity to see them, to see if there's anything. I mean, they're usually fine. So what I was going to do is suggest either read them or approve them pending review by a certain time, by like a week or 2 weeks. And if nobody has any feedback, then they're approved. But at least it provides, because on my phone, I could not open them.
Well, okay. The suggestion is that I read the minutes.
This is Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
First of all, I believe there's a mistake on the May one. I don't know. Maybe we met on May 13th, but I thought we met on the first.
We do meet on the first Tuesday.
Yeah. So you may need to check
that date. Is that not the first Tuesday?
Well, I don't think May 13th would be the first Tuesday, and that's what the date is. At any rate, these ones are very, very long. And
those were the minutes which, you're right, it's not the first Tuesday.
Nor is it May 3rd. So whichever, I don't know, you refer to them as May 3rd. And it says May 13th, so I don't know if it's a typo or we met that date.
It's my confusion. I think we did actually meet that date. The minutes were actually posted a couple of days later, which is what I usually do. I'm not sure, actually.
This is Serene.
Not the special.
Yes, Serene.
We met on the 6th,
and on the 13th. So I don't know which date the minutes are for, and I apologize. I know minutes are hard work, and I appreciate your preparing them, you know, taking them and preparing them and sharing all at the same time, but I will need to abstain on both sets of minutes because I have not read them. I gather you sent them out today or something?
Well, the May 3rd was sent actually out in time for the June meeting, and we postponed
May 3rd.
Consideration.
We didn't meet on May 3rd.
May 6th or whenever it was.
Right, but I'm saying we met on the 6th. Okay. We met on the 6th and the 13th. So which one did you
spell? That's right. We did. We met on the 6th and the 13th. That's correct.
So which ones did you send out? Which ones are we voting on?
The ones that were on the 13th. That's when we did the bylaws.
Jose Luis Fuentes for the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Jose.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. I'm just trying to understand what's the importance of approving the minutes today is one. Two, why do we need minutes approved?
Well, I'm planning on, some people have not been on this committee since it started, and the minutes are a record of that, and I'm planning on notifying them that if they don't show up at the next meeting, they're not going to be here. They need to be removed. They need to get somebody to replace them. And so it affects our ability to have quorum. As far as posting minutes, it's what we do. It's the record of what we've done, and so we do it. The only reason to do it today is what I just said.
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
Well, minutes are important. Number one, they're a record of what these committees have done, and if they've done anything, I mean, it's the right of the public to see them. It's something I believe CPB requires. If people refer to them, we passed a motion last year. So there needs to be a record of that, and some of these motions get moved up to the PNB, so we need a record of where they came from, who voted for it, and those kinds of things. That's why we have minutes.
Thank you for the clarification on when the meeting was held. It was May 13th. It was the second of the two meetings we held in June. I don't know if we had the May 6th meetings, if I ever sent them out.
Jose Luis Fuentes, back to the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Jose.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. Based on those reasons given by you, George, I think we should approve these minutes so we can have quorum at the next meeting if there's lesser numbers of us, and I'd have to wait around for people who aren't going to show up.
I had put the May 13th meeting minutes up for approval. Is there any other objection to them? Should I take a vote on them, or let me take a vote.
George, Vanessa to the stack, please.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, the only thing I'm asking is, at this point, if the May minutes are long, and it would take a long time to read them and maybe even process it, but to just approve them pending, leaving the record open for like 10 days or 7 days or something, and if there are no corrections or anything during that period of time, it would let us deal with the minutes, which are extremely important. But also take into account that, you know, some committee members, I don't know if I'm the only, did not get them. I got them, but I wasn't able to open them.
Got it. The minutes can always be amended. You can always go back and say, well, that isn't what happened. This is what happened. And
Adriana, for the stack?
If the group agrees, you can amend. Yes.
If the group agrees, right.
Hello?
Yes, Adrian.
Yeah, I agree with I'm sorry, I hear it's really bad, but I didn't catch your name, but I agree with that. Why don't we leave it open? I feel that I cannot vote in something that I really didn't read, and you know, and some confusion with the dates. I agree totally that we can leave that open, like she said, for 10 days. If nobody come up with any changes, we can consider that. I don't know. I believe, if not, I need to abstain because really, I don't know. I cannot vote in something that I don't really, you know, approve something that I really didn't see.
Let me say it's perfectly okay to abstain. The reasons I want to do it was I explained before. I would like to get a record, at least of who was here. I think what I'd like to do is, I mean, if people don't feel comfortable approving, it's perfectly okay to abstain. But many people have, and probably do, are able to approve them. And so I'd like to go and get it done so that I can do what I said, which is just to call the people who've never been here, who've missed two meetings in a row, and if they really want to show up, they'll have to show up for the next meeting.
Vanessa to the staff.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I have a question, actually. So what prevents you from contacting those people, whether the minutes are approved with finality or conditionality?
Actually, I can do it. It just gives me more authority. I can do it in any case. I may have made a mistake is part of the problem in who was actually there, because some people show up in the middle of the meeting and I don't catch them in the beginning. So if that's one of the reasons I wanted people to take a look at it. But you're correct. I can do it anyway. So if
William for the stack.
Yeah, go ahead with him.
Yeah, I move that we postpone these minutes until the next meeting, and then separate from that motion is that you can do what you said without the minutes, even though you'd be firmer with the minutes.
Yeah, that's okay with me, and if I hear a sense of reluctance to go ahead and approve them, but I would ask that everybody read them before the next meeting, and there'll be another set of minutes as well.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to William's suggestion?
Vanessa to the stack, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I would actually rather for the group to go ahead, anybody who's read them, and then leave the record open.
Okay.
But either way is fine, because it gets to be such a roller coaster of unapproved minutes. That hasn't happened in this committee ever. But, I mean, it's so easy to sort of pile them up, and then you have so many, you have to have a special meeting just to look at the minutes. And the minutes are extraordinarily important.
Okay, so I hear Vanessa's objection to the motion to postpone. The motion was duly made and doesn't need a second. I'll take a vote on postponing. If that fails, I'll immediately take a vote on the minutes themselves.
George, we ran out of time on this item.
Okay, so we have to take a vote on all of that then. Just a moment. Let me call the vote on the postponement. And for reasons not clear to me. Okay. So, I'll just call the people I know are here. If you don't hear your name, just say so at the end. So a yes vote is to postpone consideration until the next meeting. A no vote, we won't postpone. We'll go ahead and actually take a vote on the minutes at this meeting. Mal Bernstein.
No.
Adriana Casanova.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Yes.
William Hirwagen. William?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman. Kim?
Abstain.
Tony Norman.
Yes.
Andrea, myself, I vote no. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence? I don't hear Lawrence. Serene?
Serene votes yes.
And That's all I have. Who's here? Did I miss anything?
Don't forget
him. Yes, you did. You missed Maria Elena Castellanos.
Oh, Maria Elena, yes.
Houston.
Sorry. Yes, how do you vote, Maria Elena?
Yes, for postponement.
Okay, so it's 6-3, so we're going to postpone these, and please do read them. Read the next set of minutes, and let's get them all completed to avoid exactly the problem that Vanessa was talking about at the next meeting. Okay, the next item is essentially to go around and to the various stations, and I think we have someone represented from every station here. If there's more than one, of course, everybody can speak. I guess 5 minutes a station. It's 25 minutes for the whole. That was all that was decided. So we'll. I guess I'll.
George, point of information, I guess, or process, yes. Whatever it is. Okay, I would suggest like maybe 2 minutes a station, and then that would leave time for some sort of discussion.
Is there any objection to that?
Why don't we just do a couple of minutes per person or 90 seconds per person and see where we end up?
That's also...
There's three of you on from Houston. How are you going to split 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Well, she said per person. Serena said per person. So it would be like a minute per person.
All right. All right. Let's see. So how about if we give each station 3 minutes divvy it up however they wish.
Sure.
The
Vanessa, again, I agree with, Vanessa, the point of whatever. I think Serene is correct because...
Just to give everybody 90 seconds.
Just give everybody a minute, like, or something. I'd say a minute, but give it per person. It's just too hard to try to split that up.
Okay, I think you're probably right. So any objections to that then? And Serene, you suggested 90 seconds. Is a minute okay? Would you rather have 90 seconds?
Yeah, sure, whatever. Just move it.
Okay, so a minute's okay. So... Let's begin on the West Coast.
I'm sorry, Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. I need to figure out this tracking time. So we have 10 minutes for this whole session.
No, 25 minutes for the whole thing, but it's going to be a minute for each person to speak.
Okay, so let me get another time going on the screen here.
Jose, you're going to have to speak louder.
I need to have two screens going at the same time. Okay.
But I can't hear you is the problem.
All right. Sorry, Mal. I'm just playing with my screens.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mal, would you be willing to begin?
Sure. What I see is the problem at KPFA is that the LSV has no power. That's it.
Okay. Jose Luis.
Hello, what are we voting on? I just came back on the call.
We're not voting, Lawrence. We're doing the round robin on what the issues, governance issues are at your station. And everybody gets a minute to speak.
Okay, thank you.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. I think the governance issue is people not respecting each other and listening to each other.
Okay. Who else is here from KPFA?
No one.
Anyone who should be?
Margie.
Oh,
Margie
Margie,
and
that's
Andrea.
Right. She couldn't make it tonight. Okay.
As Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA, and as well as Pritchett.
Andrea Pritchett is also from your station. Okay. Oh, right. That works. That can be as many as four. That's right. Let's go to KPFK. Let's see. Lawrence, I know you're from there.
Yeah, can you come back to me?
Yeah, who else is from... Oh, Kim, you're from there. Kim?
Come back to me. I don't have anything on the top of my
Okay,
head
so
right
we've anybody else from KPFK?
Okay, I'll go.
Yes?
I'll go, George.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, so I agree with Jose Luis when he said that people don't respect each other. There's also a few issues in regards to, like, the phone volunteers slowly being replaced by an answering service. So that's one thing that the LSV has not dealt with yet.
Lawrence, I didn't quite get that. Perhaps other people didn't. Would you say it again? What was the what you just said?
That the phone line volunteers are being replaced by an automated system, like an 800 number or something, an answering service. That's what I wanted to say.
Uh-huh.
So we get a lot of comments and public comments at KPFK at our LSV. In regards to that, and there's some things that border on programming that, in regards to the article on LSV having some kind of oversight on programming, that is a sticky issue too. So, I guess that's it. And I don't know if Kim has anything else, but if you may not have anything, that's what I'm bringing up.
Okay. Kim, did you want to go?
No.
Okay. Let's go to KPFT. Adriana?
I think it will be better if we let Maria Elena, because I have more options than her. To speak about the issues, and I think that maybe we should listen. I mean, no.
Okay.
The ones that are in the PMV should listen more to our members.
Gracias. Gracias, Adriana. First of all, I think the real core issue here is whether or not KPFT and Pacifica, for that matter, is going to build on what has already been done before in terms of clarifying Pacifica's mission and tying that mission and that vision to a campaign to mobilize its membership. And more specifically, I believe a very key problem in dragging not just KPFT, but all of Pacifica slowly down toward receivership is management's refusal to allow the LSB's access to the email lists and contact information of the current paying members. And I think this is going to be the death knell of Pacifica. If we fail to get access, direct access between the LSBs and the paying members so that the current paying members can be mobilized to expand geometrically the financial base based upon reaching underserved communities. That's how I see it.
One of the issues has been the trying to get a program council established, and this was something which was actually passed by the PNB more than a year ago, and we've been negotiating to try to get it done, and it's very difficult. There's a great deal of resistance, and it is about having the some collaborative relationship between the LSB and the management. Beyond that, I agree with both what Mal said and what Jose Luis said, that there's a problem in that the LSBs don't have really a lot of power, a lot of what to do. And so I think that's part of the reason why many of the discussions wind up being personal animosities being developed, and I think he expressed his lack of respect. It certainly shows up that way. I think it's a deep problem in terms of how we conduct our business, not allowing somehow the upsets we have with each other to be spill over into the meetings. Let's see. We'll go to BAI. Who's here from BAI? Oh, Vanessa, you're BAI, aren't you?
No, I'm PFW.
I'm sorry. I meant DFW. I'm going up the coast. You're PFW, aren't you?
Go to Tony first, if he doesn't mind. I'm trying to do something over here, and I'm trying not to be distracted.
Sure. Get Tony. Tony, is it?
Oh.
Are you willing to go?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, first of all, the issues with the governance in terms of the LSB is similar to the PNB. I mean, you can't separate the two. First of all, the LSBs and PNBs try to, they shouldn't be in the business of running a station. Governing bodies are just that, governing bodies. They should be dealing with policy. And that's the trouble with the LSB as well as the PNB. Too many of them are trying to run the station in terms of staff. You cannot run a station by a committee or by a board. That is part of the problem, the fundamental problem of PNB as well as the LSB. The board members need to understand what their authority is as a board member and not to micromanage. When you appoint a general manager and when you appoint an executive director, they are the chief executive officer. They make the executive decision, and you give them the authority to do that. The trouble with the LSBs and the PNB is that they don't give those executives that authority to do that, and that's part of a fundamental problem, not just on the station level but on the PNB level. That's why we're having difficulties now. A second reason, our boards are too large. The LSB, I think everybody has gone over that. With 23 members on the PNB and the LSB, you cannot get anything done. They need to be reduced by at least half. You cannot function that way. That's a governance issue that I think is a serious, fundamental, systemic problem. Another problem is, in terms of all of your authority is in the PNB. And if I can just wrap up, PNB have a national board that's elected every year. There's a turnover every year. This is a horrible governance situation for the PNB as well as the LSB. And I can go on, but my time is up. Thank you.
Okay. Vanessa, did you want to take your time?
Okay. Thank you for waiting. There are two, maybe three issues. One has to do with the issue that I keep raising in terms of a cooperative relationship between the LSB and the GM. This committee voted on that twice, in approval of the concept, and a lot of stations, I think it was every station, with representatives here spoke that, you know, said that that was a problem for them as well. The other issue, I can only say part of it because we're sworn to secrecy, but it was, when it's appropriate, I'd like to raise it for this committee, in terms of my understanding is that the PNB voted with regard to something having to do with our former GM, the one that was placed on administrative leave. And I don't think I have authority to speak on it, but I would like a better understanding once that information is no longer confidential, to understand why and how that would happen. And I have a third issue, and for the life of me, I don't remember what it is. So. I relinquish my time.
Vanessa, I need to apologize. I skipped over your issue, which was supposed to have 10 minutes. We'll do it right after this.
Okay.
Question, Vanessa, did you refer to the PM's vote on our former ED or our former GM? ED is
If I said ED, that was incorrect. Former GM.
And you're referring to a specific station.
I'm referring to my understanding is a vote of the PNB with regard to a former GM of PFW, but the information, the specifics of it are not yet okay for us to talk about. So at the appropriate time, I'd like to raise it as an issue, but it's the GM, the former
okay.
GM.
Thank you.
I don't think there's anyone else here from PFW.
No.
Let's go to BAI. William?
Okay, William here, Wagon. I'd say that I agree. I have sympathy. I don't think it's a governance issue necessarily, but we've gone through what Lawrence was talking about it's been a couple of years now that we don't have any phone room volunteers anymore. So there's much less camaraderie, but this is not a governance issue. We have now volunteers that come in and do good work for the station, but we don't have phone room volunteers anymore, and I'm not happy about that either. Then Tony Norman mentions the boards not realizing that they're governance and not management, and that's how we have all these conflicts. I have to agree with that. The boards, most people get on these boards because they want to show or they want to have some influence somewhere on the programming, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not what this is supposed to be about. This is supposed to be about maintaining the viability financially and otherwise of the five stations and the network. And with everybody always trying to get the ear of the general own station to say, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, you end up with nothing but problems. So I don't know how it becomes a governance issue that we can do something to straighten it out, but it's just a misunderstanding that a lot of people have. They don't understand what governance is. Thanks.
Serene.
This question is deviously simple, because the answer is not simple at all. I mean, there are a myriad of problems, but I don't know that I can be succinct about my concerns or my dissatisfactions. There's a problem with how power. There's a problem with how power is used within the organization. We have managers who may have responsibility but cannot freely implement their ideas. We have perhaps managers who don't necessarily have brilliant ideas. but we also have board members who wish to be managers and listener board members who wish to be programmers or certainly at least program directors. I think there's a lot of confusion about the roles, and I think maybe a certain amount of tension within the structure is a good thing, but I think we are I don't like to use the term paralyzed because I think it's used way too lightly in our society. But we work against ourselves more effectively than we do anything else in the current structure. So I know that doesn't give you a lot of specificity, but that's what it is.
Okay. Did I miss anybody?
George?
Kim, did you want to speak? Kim?
No. No, thanks.
Adriana? Oh, Adriana?
Adriana, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add just one phrase, Adriana KPFT. One of my worries, really, really, really strong worries with KPFT, is that I see that it's a move in KPFT marching to secession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have declarations, blogs, and from authorities from KPFT advocating for secession. And I think that this is a really terrible problem. We, in a way, we are not acting like the five fingers of a hand. We are acting like defending our little niche instead of being supporting the whole Pacifica Foundation with all the stations. I think that is a problem, too. We don't have enough dialogue among the stations to understand that we need to support each other. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Excellent.
Anyone else?
Yeah, George, I think I had like 10 seconds remaining. I remember the last issue.
Yes,
which was
go ahead.
It's my understanding that Pacifica keeps taking PFW's money, illicitly so, which keeps us in a financial bind.
Okay.
Who just spoke?
Vanessa Dixonbrook.
Vanessa from PFW.
Okay. How much time have we got left, Jose Luis?
7 minutes.
Okay, so it was for open discussion. I'll take a stack. Similarities that you see, anything you want to comment on, and any...
Jose Luis Fuentes on the stack.
Go ahead, Jose.
Maria Elena Castellanos on the stack.
Okay.
So, I think this...
Only for the stack.
This issue about Pacifica taking the station's money and keeping them in a financial bind is something that's urgent for all the stations to be addressed and a process developed to notify the stations that will hopefully tie into the respect issue and not listening issue that I raised.
This is Kim. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, Maria Elena, then Kim.
I think...
Tony had asked to be on the stack before, Kim.
I'm sorry, who did?
Tony.
Oh, sorry, Tony, I didn't hear you. Okay. Tony.
Maria Elena here.
But I can go after...
You can go after Kim. Okay, good.
Okay, this ties into, of course, one of the two items that I had asked be added to the agenda, and that is how can the governance committee facilitate this Pacifica getting out of its financial bind, identifying its financial bind and getting out of its financial bind. And first of all, there does need to be clarity as to what kinds of resources have been sucked into the most recent fiasco, legal fiasco, that afflicted our national structure. And because, it really is demoralizing to see tens of thousands of dollars going out of the Pacifica Treasury supposedly just for legal fees and stuff like that. But the more important thing is this, and that is, how can governance facilitate a coming together of the LSBs around a common vision of what Pacifica can be, not just surviving this financial crunch, but actually becoming a different kind of Pacifica that fulfills a vision of not just, I'd hate to use a cliche, becoming a voice for the voiceless or, the radio for peace. Well, you can't have peace without social justice, and Pacifica has got to come to grips with just that, and that is, how is it going to mobilize or facilitate the mobilization of all our LSBs around a program of action and principles that will really, really launch our membership drives in a different way, not in the same old way, but in a different way.
Kim.
I understand the message of we shouldn't be paying the national office, and that's an entirely different conversation than what governance really should handle. Pacifica owns the licenses, and I understand the ideology behind not paying Pacifica. And I think better governance over this is what's needed. I don't think anybody really understands what Pacifica pays for and what each station would have to pay for were Pacifica not consolidating these costs to all the stations. And to not know that and make this assertion or even have this conversation is, I think, not appropriate for governance. So there you go.
Tony?
First of all, I have to disagree with Kim. I have to agree with Vanessa on raising that point. I think it is a governance issue, because the issue with WPFW is that when the national office can just dip into your account and take your funds without even any authorization or signature from the local station, they have the right to just take funds out of our account, period, with one signature. That's no other station they can do that with. Now, I don't mind. We don't mind giving money to the national office. I think we should. We would gladly. In fact, I think we just did a loan from our station to help the national office. So I don't think we have any problem with that, over $50,000. The problem is they're taking funds, and I think the last administration did that. They just take funds out of our account with no accounting and no credit to us, and we never see those funds again. If you're going to take funds from us, give us credit for it and reduce it and pay it back. If you're not going to pay it back, then at least give us credit for it. We haven't paid central services in a couple of years because of the slump, but we haven't. But WPFW hadn't received CPB funds in over 3 years. Which is well and fine. If you want to keep our CPB funds, do that. But at least reduce the amount that you're claiming we owe for central services. So it is a governance issue, because you cannot just dip into a station. There's an issue of respect. Don't do it to other stations. Don't do it to us. So I'd have to support her on that, and I think that's going to be a major issue. Not that we're not willing to pay our fair share. We're more than willing. We will pay our central services. But somehow, in the last year was somewhat like a mafia debt. The more you pay back on the debt, but it's never reduced. They never reduce. They keep saying, well, you owe $300,000 in central service. We pay $200,000 a year, but they never give us credit for that. This is a serious matter, and we're working with the CFO on it. So I think this is more than just an issue of not helping the national office. We want to help, and we want to contribute. But at least have a leisure or balance of giving us credit for money that you take. And if you say it's a loan, pay it back. If you're going to take the money, fine, take it. Pay bills, give us credit for the money that you take.
Anyone else want to speak?
This is Kim.
Let me see if there's anyone who hasn't spoken.
Serene, please.
Anyone who hasn't spoken yet who would like to speak?
Serene, please.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Serene.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think that there are a number of problems within Pacifica, and I think it would be a great idea if the PND could model appropriate governance behavior. These LSBs are effectively subcommittees, you know, or committees, if you will, of the PND. The LSBs have not been... Someone needs to mute. They're having a second conversation. Pound one will mute you. I think that the PND needs to get its act together. We've gotten to a point where we now have a 30-minute agenda setting period. But, you know, there are a million ways to not have a meeting. We evidenced some of that last night, where we were an hour into the meeting and I think had dealt with one item, even with a limit of 30 minutes to set an agenda. There's an awful lot wrong. And I think it comes from people being confused about their roles and coming to the table with motives that are more important to them than creating a functioning Pacifica, because the level of dysfunction that I see cannot be accidental.
George?
Yeah, just a moment. I see us approaching 10 o'clock.
Point of order?
Let me just have the floor for a minute. I see us approaching 10 o'clock. It's 4 minutes to 10, which was time certain to quit. And there's a whole item that we had, which was Vanessa's, on the bylaw process that we haven't looked at. I'd like to extend time for till 10 after 10 to allow us to do that. Is there any objection to
that? Point of order.
What's your point of order?
And that is that we also had issue of how the governance PMB committee can facilitate the elections.
That's true.
If we're going to extend for 10 minutes, I would suggest that half of those 10 minutes be for that item.
Well, let's extend for 20 minutes then.
I don't know if we can do
that. I strongly object to 20 minutes.
Okay, so...
can we compromise at 15 and cut it in half?
But let me see. Is there any objection to extending time for 10 minutes?
Yes.
There is. Okay, well, in that case, we need...
I will withdraw my objection and just get off the call, which is fine.
That's okay. I appreciate that, Mal.
Okay, sure.
Hearing no objection for 10 minutes, I hear there's an objection for 20 minutes.
This is Serene.
Yes.
It is 9:57 here.
Yes.
So we're talking about extending until 10:10, so we'll be ending at 10:13?
I was planning on extending until 10:10 and that we would get this done by 10 o'clock.
And this being what?
This being the decision to extend time.
No. The 10 minutes. What's that going to be used for?
That would be used to do the item that we skipped, which was my mistake, which was the bylaws process that Vanessa wanted to discuss. We also had something at the end that we said we would get to if we could, which was the items that... that Marie Lena put forth. So,
but specifically, I'm not talking about the financial item anymore. I'm talking about how the governance committee can facilitate the elections. There's a very important point that I need to bring up, and it does directly impact governance and the election that has never been raised and needs to be raised.
Okay. Can we have 15 minutes can we extend for 15 minutes? Is there any objection to that?
Yeah, I would agree to. I object to 15 minutes. I'd agree to 10 minutes, 5 minutes per piece, and let's just vote on it and decide what we're doing.
Well, we already assigned 10 minutes for that process, for the one that Vanessa just.
No, we did. We put 10 minutes on the agenda when we started, but we no longer have those 10 minutes. The question is whether we adjourn. It's 9:59. The question is whether we adjourn now or what we do with any extension, so we don't go back to the original times in this case.
I hear you. Okay, so any objection if we do 10 minutes and 5 minutes for each item? Good. Hearing none, that's what we'll do. We're out of time on... the sort of survey of problems, which I think has been very useful, actually. Altogether, there's a kind of picture of what's going on that I think has been useful. I want to acknowledge that. Jose Luis, we're going to give five minutes to Vanessa. Would you broach the issue, and we'll do what we can in 5 minutes.
Okay, sure. Well, we've already voted on it twice, so the issue that we've approved twice, once in general, just as a broad concept that the governance committee approved, and then the second time it was at the special meeting with regard to the bylaws, and it was intended to be a proposed bylaws amendment before all that got messed up. And so I wanted to ask the committee what we can do with that concept of the LSBs and the GMs working collaboratively. The language was worked out. There was approval for it. So can we still take that to the PNB in some form or fashion and say, here's a recommendation from the governance committee as an idea? I'm just trying to structure it and move it along in whatever form can move along.
Serene for the stack.
Good, Serene.
Okay.
Lawrence to the stack.
And then Lawrence.
Okay.
you know, the fact that the PNB discussed, and I believe it was a straw poll, George, that you did the first time that we had this discussion about the idea, and then the second time there was a meeting at which the Governance Committee, there was a straw poll first, or people threw out ideas about things that were important to them, and then there was a second meeting at which many people on the committee expressed support for various bylaw amendments. The bylaw amendment process is very clear, was stated repeatedly in writing, publicized to
Point of order. As it has nothing to do, because I don't want to chew up 5 minutes. We only have 5 minutes to talk about it. This has nothing to do with the bylaws.
I'm not talking about what else we can do,
not the bylaws.
Please.
George, and all the time will be gone, and we'll have done nothing, and all we will have done is talk about the bylaws process. We all talked about that the last time, how it got screwed up. So it's just, well, how can
George,
we move forward beyond the bylaws process?
Serene, continue with your comment, and I assume you're addressing the issue that Vanessa raised.
Well, I'm addressing the issue, but I think in interrupting me, she highlighted precisely the confusion that seems to persist. This is why I was reviewing the process, because the statement that the process got, quote, screwed up, I don't know who screwed it up, but the process was laid out very clearly on the Pacifica website and to the LSB chairs, that some people were confused about what they were reading. You know, I don't know who's supposed to take responsibility for that, but I will repeat that anything about how a GM functions is something that can easily be addressed in a job description or in a policy document that the ED then distributes to the general managers. So I don't understand how we keep referring, you know, these two votes that the committee took were, I won't say they were useless or pointless, but clearly they confused people because they had no meaning in terms of a bylaw amendment process, which was a point that I thought more than one person made during the discussions. So the constant reference to them as though they had some weight is, you know, I don't understand why that's happening.
Okay. Would anyone else like to speak to this?
I'm sorry,
Lawrence was already on the stack. Lawrence, go ahead.
Who was it that just spoke?
It was Serene. Lawrence?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here. Am I up?
You wanted to speak to this issue?
Yeah. So I really believe that there's a very narrow and conservative interpretation of the bylaws. And then there's an active interpretation of the bylaws in terms of, you know, the way they should be implemented in terms of the way they relate to situations at the stations. And some people have a real narrow interpretation, and they would even dismiss the bylaws as something that has nothing to do with anything, has nothing to do with governance. So, you know, I have to say that sometimes we have to reaffirm particular sections of the bylaws in order for them to be respected. I think one of the reasons is that management.
We're at time.
You at time?
Yeah, good. Finish your thought, Lawrence, and move on.
So management and even some of our staff do not care about the bylaws and do not even read them. So how could they, you know, abide by them and take the time to educate themselves about them? Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move on to the issue that Mary Lena wanted to raise, which is... Mary Lena, would you describe what it is? Open the conversation.
First of all, the general issue is how can the Governance Committee... identify problems that threaten whether or not the elections will be carried off, but more importantly, facilitate the elections, and even more importantly, illuminate or resolve a conflict of interest that some LSB members have and PNB members have with whether or not there will even be elections. So let me clarify, what is this conflict of interest? Well, if you stop and think about it, the fact that Pacifica failed to fulfill its bylaws and carry out an LSB election last year in 2013 rendered an unintentional term of 4 years to those LSB members whose three-year term expired last year. So there's a conflict of interest of these incumbent LSB members with regard to whether or not they're going to be allowed to continue their incumbency and then run this September or this August as incumbent LSB members when indeed they were not voted for a four-year term, they were voted for a three-year term. So I'm proposing that this unintended benefit be resolved by allowing runners-up to displace these four-year term incumbents before the onset of the fall 2014 elections.
Vanessa to the staff.
Okay, Vanessa, good.
Okay, I see your point. I understand your concern. But at this point, we're like halfway through the year. I only had a one-year term, and my term was doubled. So I think that would have been a great idea perhaps like 6 months ago when there was time to actually follow through with that. But at this point, given the unfairness of it and, you know, and everything, I think it's just too late to resolve it. I think at this point it would be disruptive to replace sitting LSB members, especially if they're actually showing up to meetings and participating on committees, and replace them with brand new people. I just don't think it would be helpful at this point.
Maria Elena on the stack after other people
speak. Anybody else who hasn't spoken? Anybody else want to speak to it? Okay, go ahead, Maria Elena.
First of all, this unfairness was raised by me and other people last year, even before the 2013 elections failed. We brought up this conflict of interest. And in fact, I believe some incumbent LSB members were aware of it themselves and in fact contributed to the stalemate along with other factors that led to the failure of the Pacifica elections. And I'm concerned that these same incumbents could possibly even block the execution of the 2014 elections. But I think it's a gross injustice to the runners. Let me finish my thought.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we haven't completed the minute. I think it's a gross injustice for the runners-up to be denied an opportunity to take up part of that fourth year for which the incumbents were not elected.
Okay.
And I think what we can derive from that fresh injection of blood will far outweigh whatever contributions that the current members are making. I'm not saying that everybody should be removed from the committees. I'm just saying that we should have some sort of a transitional process that will allow these incumbents to come in and take part as voting delegates before this fall's election.
Vanessa, to the back, if there's nobody else.
Anybody else?
This is Kim.
Good, Kim.
Well, I'm not sure how you could call people who have never been elected more, what was the word you said, unelected, that, you know, people whose term is up is unelected. So how are the people who are runner-ups way down the list are any more elected?
Because of the bylaws. The bylaws point out that when an LSB delegate's term expires...
At six years?
Yes, but it refers to the 6 years. I'm talking about an unusual situation.
6 years they're termed out. Six years they're termed out, period.
Yes.
We're at time.
Okay. I'm just simply pointing out that there's that gap in the bylaws, but that taking that...
George, we're at time.
Yes, who's that?
George, I'd like to propose that for the next meeting... that on the agenda first come the two issues that there was really inadequate time to deal with. And I hope that we won't establish time limits for issues to talk about them in no real substantive way and get nothing done.
I will do that. I'll post both issues again. And Marie-Lena, I would recommend that you have a motion at that point if you want the Governance Committee to really get involved in this.
And Marie-Lena, I have an idea for you. If you can contact me, this is Vanessa, about how you might be able to, just another idea how you can move that forward, maybe.
Okay.
And
okay. We are out of time. Thank you all.
Thank you, George.
Yes, who's that?
Vanessa.
Vanessa? Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, I just said thank you.
Oh, thank you. Good. Glad to hear it. And Jose Luis, thanks for keeping time. Good night, all.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Thank you.